This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Hi, I'm Leo Hopewell. I'm here at NAMM 2012, and I'm about to talk to Fraser Clark from Oxford University about the European Extremely Large Telescope and the Harmony instrument. So, hi Fraser, thanks for joining us.
That's okay. Good to speak to you today.
So, can you tell us perhaps what the ELT is for those of our listeners who don't know?
Right, a basic description of the ELT. So the ELT will be, in about 10 years' time, the ELT will be built, and it will go on Mount Stop in Chile, and the exciting thing about it is it's going to be a 40-metre optical telescope, which is, diameter-wise, five times bigger than any telescope we've got around today. So it's a massive increase in the size of telescope you can have. And in fact, if you sum up the area with the mirror of the ELT, there is more mirror area in the ELT than all other professional telescopes built to date. So it's a huge telescope.
That's quite an impressive sort of engineering feat. Do you know what sort of challenges building something like that must take?
Well, there's a lot of challenges. The dome is basically the size of a small football stadium, which is in itself not so much of a problem to build. You know, people build lots of football stadiums, but they don't build many football stadiums on the top of a 3,000-metre mountain in the middle of the Atacama Desert with a roof that has to rotate and open. Another big challenge is taking this mirror. To support this mirror, you have to put it in 3,000 or 4,000 tons of steel, and then you have to make that 3,000 or 4,000 tons of steel point to less than an arc second. And just to give you an idea of the size of an arc second is the size if you take a 2-pence piece and you take it about 3 kilometers away. So you have to take 3,000 tons of metal and either point it to the left of that 2-pence piece or to the right of that 2-pence piece. So that is not a trivial thing to do at all. So there's lots of engineering challenges in the ELT.
That sounds like quite a feat. So can you tell us in what way you're involved with ELT, and I understand you're building the Harmony instrument at Oxford?
Yeah, that's right. So as with all telescopes, what the telescope does is gather light to a point and make a focus, make an image. If you then want to do something with that image, you have to have an instrument which can take that light and process it in some way. And Harmony is an instrument which we have proposed for the ELT, which has been selected as the first spectrograph which is going to go on the ELT. What Harmony will do is it has a quite a small field of view, about the size of a typical galaxy, a typical high redshift galaxy, a little bit bigger than that. And it will look at that area of sky, just a small area of sky, take all that light from the telescope that's gathered, split it up into all of its different constituents' wavelengths. It's a spectrograph. Split it up into all its different wavelengths, take an image of those different wavelengths, and let us study the details of what's happening in the object. Let us study its kinematics, its motions, its metallicity, what it's made of. It's really got a huge number of science cases, right down from looking at the surfaces of asteroids in our own solar system, all the way out through looking for planets around other stars, stars in other galaxies, studying the detailed physics of galaxies throughout the age of the universe, right the way up to trying to work out how the first galaxies turned on and how they reionized the universe. And so my part in this at Oxford is to work on the implementation of this instrument through the system engineering, working out exactly what we have to build to be able to do this exciting science and how we turn that into real bits of optics and metal. And this is a project we're leading at Oxford. It involves also the UK Astronomy Technology Centre up in Edinburgh. We also have a partnership with two organisations in Spain and one organisation in France, but it's a UK-led project, so it's very exciting for the UK to be able to be the country which is going to lead the building of the first spectrographic instrument that's going to go onto this completely revolutionary telescope.
So it sounds like we could do some quite interesting science with this instrument, but it sounds like a very complicated sort of thing to build. In what way does it kind of differ from a normal camera that you might stick on the back of a telescope? So you said it can get a spectrum out for a particular object that you might be pointing it at.
It is complicated but not complex. Fundamentally, the principle of what we're doing is pretty simple. It's just that the physical realization of that for such a big telescope means you end up having something that is quite big and has many parts in it. So what we do is we take the light from the telescope. We then have quite a fancy bit of optics, which we call an image slicer. Can't really explain that without drawing stuff. But what it does is it takes a rectangular field and then it uses a set of mirrors, which all have slightly different angles on them, to slice that image up and turn it into a straight line. And then when we have a straight line, we pass that into what's called a spectrograph, which takes that image and it passes it through, in our case, a grating, a diffraction grating. And that disperses the light out at different angles of the wavelength. Depending on the wavelength of light, it goes through the grating at a slightly different angle. And then we use a camera to image that onto effectively a CCD detector.
So you're taking an image and you're breaking it down into different slices, and then you're taking a spectrum for each slice. So you must have several CCD cameras around the edge of your detector to kind of pick up a spectrum for each of these slices out of the image. It must then be quite difficult to kind of reconstruct these back into some kind of three-dimensional map of the spectrum against the position in the image. Is that quite a complicated task?
Yeah, so you've hit it exactly on the head, right? So that's exactly what we do in software. We use the hardware to break up this three-dimensional data of X, Y, and wavelength. We use the hardware to break that up onto the detector. In our case, we have 8 detectors. And then we use software to reconstruct that data from the image we get out of the detector. We take various calibration data that lets us work out, well, exactly where did, if I see something on the detector here, where did it actually come from in the image? We put a calibration field in so that we can work out what that transformation is. And then in software, we take the CCD images, chop them up again in software, and then rearrange those so that we end up with what we call a data cube, which is a three-dimensional representation of what we've observed, with X in one direction, Y in the other direction, and then wavelength in the third dimension.
That's quite an impressive feat, I think, to achieve. So you mentioned earlier a bit about the sort of science goals with this instrument. Are there any particular science goals you're particularly passionate about or interested in approaching with this instrument?
Yeah, so my background is in astronomy, and I do probably more engineering than I do astronomy. There's a lot of really exciting science cases. One of the nice things with Harmony is that it's not specialized for any specific case, which means it will sort of get to look at the best examples of every object in every class, which is exciting. From my respect, the sort of science that I'm working on is to do with brown dwarf. The brown dwarfs go below the lowest mass of star you can get, and they're very cool objects, both, you know, in the sense that they're quite interesting, and also they're just physically cold. The coldest ones we know of are about the temperature of this room. And so Harmony is so sensitive in the infrared that it'll let us study these very cool objects, and that's quite an exciting one. We can also look for planets around other nearby stars, where we have the sensitivity to do that. And one that I think is quite interesting is that we've got enough resolution that we can actually go and look at the brighter asteroids in the solar system, and we can make a surface map of the asteroid, of the surface of those asteroids. And because we've got the spectroscopic information at every point on the asteroid, we can actually, hopefully, make some sort of composition maps of the surface of an asteroid, which I think will be quite interesting. So we can work out, you know, is there a big lump of iron over here and a big lump of carbon over here, or is it all mashed together and is it very smooth? I think that's quite an interesting prospect with this instrument.
So it sounds like there's some opportunities there to sort of map out the galaxy map out the solar system for where we're going to go and mine for minerals to build our spacecraft, I guess.
Well, yeah, I don't know if we'll be quite at the stage where we can sell mining maps back to the mining companies, but maybe that's a commercial offshoot. We'll have to see.
Fraser, thank you very much.
Thank you.